let me get a good look in there. Let me put my fingers in that mouth.
Pry my hand.
Poke around a little bit. Welcome to the Pre-Dead Boys. It's a podcast about the history and culture of death and decomposition. Why are you laughing at me? That wasn't a joke. That's actually the name of our podcast. My name is Dorian. With me as always is Max. Max, why are you laughing at me?
You just put a little pause in there and it kind of threw me off the normal rhythm.
It was weird, but I'm sleep deprived and I'm going to give myself a little bit of an allowance there.
You should. You earned it. You want to talk about why you're sleep deprived or?
Yeah, sure. We're going to start off this episode with a little bit of a public service announcement.
Oh, good.
It's the holiday season, right?
Yes.
It's getting cold out there.
Uh-huh.
But it's very warm inside. Inside your home.
Uh-huh.
Inside your bed.
Uh-huh.
Inside your bookshelf.
Uh-huh.
Or any other wooden furniture you might have.
Uh-huh.
What Max is referring to is the fact that I got bed bugs. And I didn't tell you this, but I did the math because I found first one bed bug, and then I found that they were nesting inside of my bed.
Sure.
If you don't know what bed bugs are, no, they're not just a, you know, don't let the bed bugs bite. It's not just
it's
like
a
cute thing.
Hell disease.
They're at legitimately a complete pain in the ass, and they fucking suck.
I have had bed bugs while we've done this podcast.
Have you?
Yeah.
While we recorded?
Yeah, and I can't believe we haven't. I don't know. Maybe we did talk about it.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, your style of dealing with crises is just quietly solving the problem, and my style is complaining to everyone I know about it. But yeah, bed bugs fucking suck. And yeah, they were in my bed. Fortunately, did not see them in any other furniture, and I did destroy my bed. I lit it on fire.
It was
very satisfying. But I did the math. And I was thinking, okay, there are several bed bugs here, and there are many of different stages of life, meaning that they have bred and run through the whole cycle.
Sure.
Which can take a couple months. And I was thinking about the last time I was in a bed that was not my own, in a place that would conceivably possibly have bed bugs.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking about the hotel we stayed at when we went to
Cleveland
for your bachelor party, and I'm wondering if that was the case. So if you're listening to this, it doesn't hurt to check your furniture, check your bed for any like weird little black spots.
Yep.
Or any evidence of bed bugs. Check your furniture.
Check your walls.
Yeah, they don't really like hang out in the open. They burrow and hide usually in things with crevices like wood.
Uh-huh.
Just do a quick search because they're really nasty and they're a pain in the ass to deal with. And if you find them, call your landlord and, like, I don't know, maybe I'll, like, link to tips. Because I'm a fucking expert on fighting them now. But especially if you're listening to this and you're one of the guys that was on our little bachelor party trip, make sure you check your shit. Because apparently I don't show the signs of biting.
You're not going to, like, text?
Who
was in your room? Zach?
Oh, a few guys.
Brian?
I gotta text some people. we'll figure it out. But anyway,
good.
Yeah, the good news is they seem to all be gone, but we're still getting some preventative treatment from an exterminator. So I'm in the throes of that right now.
Uh-huh.
Don't let that be you. Check your shit for bed bugs always, forever. You can't be too paranoid.
Never, ever. And thank you all for being gracious with us as we took a little bug hiatus.
Yes.
Because they are hell beings who should be exterminated. Ohio is lousy with them. If you're somewhere else who doesn't have them that bad, you're very lucky.
Yeah.
Fuck bugs.
I hate them.
You want some good news?
I would like some good news. I need some good news in my life. And my understanding is you have some very good
news. I have incredible news. Incredible podcast-related updates. Columbus, Ohio, where we live, is getting a Sheetz.
Woo!
My favorite gas station. My favorite restaurant. My favorite everything.
Wait, it's your favorite restaurant? Out of any restaurant?
That might be an exaggeration, but it's up there.
Sure.
And I did, they released like a hype video to get us into it.
To get us more hyped than we already
are.
Yeah,
I'm there. Like, I'm hyped up.
Ever since the first time I ordered a breakfast burrito and a chai tea latte
and
some waffle fries at 3 a.m. on a road trip, I've been sold.
Hell yeah.
What further evidence could you show me that would convince me even more so that I want a Sheetz in my life?
So the magazine this was announced in, the headline was, "We Sheet You Not, Sheetz is coming to Columbus." And Sheetz made a little hype video. I just want you to watch it and get your live reactions on this.
Okay.
Oh, it's auto-muted. I mean, bless them, but...
Hell yeah. What the fuck is this video? Hashtag finally. Is that official from Sheetz?
That is from Sheetz.
That's like a college student made that to hype up a party that they're throwing. That's fucking wild.
It's wild.
Hell yeah.
It's like from the official Sheetz Facebook page. And like the tagline of the video is just... Hell yeah.
I mean, good on them for knowing their target audience.
Which is me.
And me. They nailed it. It's perfect advertising.
Yeah, it's like really fratty EDM. The drum roll is just like, sounds like gunshots.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
We Sheet You Not, Sheetz is coming to Columbus. I'm just glad they didn't use a Z pun of some kind. Well, that's fantastic news indeed.
Very good.
Thank you, Max, for sheering that with me, and thank you to Sheetz. From now until the end of time, forever and ever, we love you.
Holy shit. I'm on the Sheetz website,
mm-hmm.
which is also very good. You can buy Sheetz Converse.
Sheetz? Chucks? Show me these bad boys.
Sheetz High Tops, baby.
Oh, shit. Well, if anyone's still looking for a Christmas gift for me and Max, we could use two matching pairs of Sheetz Converse.
Sheetz Converse. Why do these exist? I don't know. I got to explore this a little bit.
Well, you'll have to do that later because we are 20 minutes into recording and still have not talked about the topic we always talk about on this podcast. This is a podcast about death.
Death.
Max. What have you prepared for us today?
Today, on the docket, we got body composting.
Composting?
Yeah, I don't have a fun joke to lead it in.
That's fine.
But that's fine.
We talked about Sheetz for 10 minutes.
Sheetz.
So.
So today we're going to be talking about all the ways that you can have your body, your dead body, broken down by a bunch of bacteria and returned to the earth after you die. And this was cool, because this was actually a listener suggestion episode.
Ooh.
We got two. We have Pre-Dead Boys super fan KC.
Yes.
From Portland in the Discord.
You're the best.
And Sam in the Facebook group, which is very cool.
Nice. I don't know about Sam, but I know that KC
No, you might not know about Sam, but you know about Sam's lizard.
Oh, the beardy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Man, both.
That's Sam.
Both great pets.
Yeah.
Sammy's got a great, speaking of Norse mythology, Hugin is its name.
Yep.
Casey has an excellent bunny.
Excellent little rabbit.
Thank you for posting all of your cute bunny photos in the Discord. We really appreciate that. It's made my day.
Join our Discord. Casey lives in Portland. And I mention that because Portland has a basketball team, the Portland Trailblazers.
Right.
And they're like good. And if you're looking for a basketball team to be a fan of, then I would recommend them because their like city name, like their like slogan is Rip City.
Oh, hell yeah.
And Rip City is very close to RIP City. So I like that a lot. I'm a big fan of that.
They get the pre-Dead Boys endorsement.
Yeah. Not the Sixers, but the Blazers. And I like them.
Not the Sixers?
It's not death related. Although sometimes they do use the logo that's a snake that's cut up a whole bunch.
Oh, okay.
And that's sick.
That's pretty cool.
So, dope. So go get a Damian Lillard jersey. But that's mostly a West Coast thing. So let's talk about a universal experience of dying and being broken down into tiny little pieces. And let's get into it with the pre-Dead Boys crack into the topic moment. Brought to you by these that I bought at the liquor store that I walked to right before we recorded this. Original New York Seltzer.
I've seen these. I've been very curious about these. Have you ever had these before?
I have not. I went because I was like, oh, they've got to have seltzer there. And then I saw this and I was like, they didn't have anything else, so I just bought these. And the guy who was manning the counter was watching Jurassic World. So I figured he needed a break.
Didn't want to interrupt him.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's crack into the, I guess, twist. These are twist offs.
Yeah, bottles.
Twist into the topic with the pre-Dead Boys crack into the topic moment brought to you by Original New York Seltzer. Oh, that's a new noise.
So this is just a straight soda, though, right?
Oh.
Right?
Oh, I did not see that.
I mean, it's called seltzer.
Soda. I just saw the top.
Black cherry flavor. Let's dig into it.
Oh, there's sugar in here.
Oh, there's a lot of sugar in this.
Holy shit.
I love this. It's like candy.
You know, this tastes exactly like...
What's that?
The popsicles that you're supposed to freeze.
Yeah.
It just tastes like you're drinking one of those popsicles.
It really does.
Well, I gotta go let Katrina have a hit of this. She's gonna love this. She's a fan. She stands. Wife stands. This thing's got a lot of sugar.
Oh yeah, boy. 23 grams of it, baby.
And it's like not, it's 10 ounces instead of 12. So like that'd be normal for like a soda, but
I kind of appreciate that this is a soda for the modern adult. You know what? I want something like candy, but just a little bit.
It's clear.
And I want it to be clear so I can feel better about my decisions.
You know, the best part about this being clear is?
What's that?
You don't have to brush your teeth afterwards.
Yep. Never have to brush your teeth again. So speaking of teeth rotting, we should talk about human beings rotting. I don't know why I thought your sneeze was so funny.
Ooh. So, body composting. Good lord. So, I am back on my etymology bullshit.
Woo!
So, Dorian, do you know where the word compost comes from?
Yes.
Because you looked ahead?
No, I don't know.
Oh.
I'll read it.
Okay.
Though.
Okay, yeah, but you know what compost is, right?
Yeah, it's like people use basically biodegradable trash to kind of boost up the growth of their plants. They kind of mix it up with their soil,
yeah.
Right?
Like a nice ichor goop.
Ichor?
Just trash. Yeah, just like, you know, melted, decomposed stuff.
Oh, goop.
We got a bigger definition. But look at the etymology of this here.
Compost, noun, late 14th century. From compote, mixture of stewed fruits, a preserve, from Old French.
Yep. It's gross.
It's old fruit.
And like, I think that kind of goes in line with when you talk about exhuming a body and it looking just like a big thing of old cheese.
Yeah.
Black cheese or
black
whatever.
Black cottage cheese.
Ugh. So next time you think about composting anything, just imagine like a big pile of jelly you got going on.
Yeah.
You know, actually, if you look out that window, there's like a little... So in between the townhomes that I live in, there's like a little like yard area.
Uh-huh.
And someone just keeps throwing food out there.
Yeah.
Just like oranges and apple cores and just food. They're just throwing food out there.
Oh, so they're giving you compost.
Yeah.
How sweet.
They're like kind of composting, but also it's probably bringing a bunch of like rats.
around. Oh, yeah. This is campus. You're getting swarmed, buddy.
Yeah. So, you know, just imagine there's like a big black jelly pile that's mm-hmm. full of rats.
Gross.
Behind my house. And then imagine that if you're going to compost your body, you're going to be like that, but with bones.
Hell yeah.
So that's going to be especially weird when we talk about the composting of a teen heartthrob, but we'll get there when we get there. Ooh. So
tantalizing.
So right now I want to talk about just the straight process of composting. So what is composting? You gave a pretty capable definition. Solid one.
Thank you.
So
came up with it myself.
Yeah. It was good. That's basically what it is. You're using decomposing materials to enrich soil.
Hmm.
Here's like a big fluffy definition from one of them dictionary websites.
Composting is the process of decomposing organic matter. The process recycles various waste organic materials and produces a soil conditioner that is rich in nutrients. It is used in gardens, landscaping, horticulture, urban agriculture, and organic farming. The compost itself is beneficial for the land, replenishing nutrients, adding moisture, and acting as a natural pesticide for soil. In ecosystems, compost is useful for erosion control, land and stream reclamation, wetland construction, and as landfill cover.
Like, all very good stuff.
We like all of those things.
All cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember learning about, like, crop rotation in elementary school?
No.
This is another thing where I don't know if my school was just a little, like, more 4-H than a lot of other schools in the area.
Maybe. I also didn't pay too much attention in school, generally.
So, like, when they say that compost is good for, like, crops, they really mean it's good for crop cycling. So crop cycling is like, so there are certain crops like rice and cotton that grow really well in a low nitrogen soil, which means the soil doesn't have a lot of nitrogen in it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. But then there's garden vegetables like corn and tomatoes, and they need a high nitrogen soil to grow.
Okay.
So if you're a farmer and you grow a bunch of corn, the corn sucks all the nitrogen out of the soil, and after a couple of years, the soil can't grow corn anymore.
It becomes low nitrogen.
Yeah. And there were a bunch of, like, dumb pioneer people who did that a lot, and it caused a lot of the famines in early America, because they were just farming a bunch of things.
Just blasting it with corn.
Yeah, because we were like, we don't need to learn about the environment, whatever.
Right.
And then they starved. Bad move. So composting adds those extra nutrients back into the soil and allows it to sustain better growth for longer.
Okay.
So originally you would have to grow like corn for 2 years and then something like cotton for a year so it could replenish. But then with composting, you can grow corn for like 4 or 5 years straight.
Hmm.
So it's good. And when you think about like the push for body composting, it's kind of similar to sky burial, actually, but in like a Western sense, where it's this idea of, I want my body to be given back to the earth that I've spent my whole life taking from.
Right.
You know. But before we talk more about what it means to compost a human body, did you know that, like, have you ever seen a compost pile?
With a body? No.
No, just like a regular compost pile.
Yeah, I think I know what that looks like. There's a lot of trash.
Yeah, it's a lot of garbage.
Yeah.
Did you know those can spontaneously combust?
What?
Yeah. So a compost pile will usually be about 90 to 160 degrees at the center.
Weird.
Because the bacteria that are inside there produce heat, because they're living things.
Right, but it's that much heat?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's just so tightly packed, and they're just breaking everything down. It's the same process as, like, when you break something down, you break the bond between the molecules. This is science corner right now. When you break that bond in the molecules, you release energy. Okay. And energy is heat.
Yeah.
And so breaking things down like that releases heat.
Hmm.
Which is cool. But that means if you have a compost pile and you throw a bunch of like raked leaves or grass clippings on there, it can get hot enough to catch those on fire, and then the whole pile just combusts.
Wow.
Just cool.
Your fucking garden just lights on fire.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's like the cool version of our spontaneous human combustion episode.
Yeah, except it's not humans. Typically.
Yeah. It hasn't happened with a human in a compost pile yet.
Oh, man.
We know of.
I want to be the first.
I can't think of any times where it's happened like a graveyard.
Not yet, but it'll happen.
You can be number one.
I would like to be. I volunteer to spontaneously combust. Because you know, if I'm sitting there rotting, I'm going to get antsy. You know me.
I'm going to get bored.
You know I have a short attention span. You know at some point I got to just burst into flames.
Well, I mean, I found a story of a compost fire in Houston, Texas that happened at an organic recycling plant. And from the sounds of it, this fire gets pretty big and it's pretty randy. So I want you to read this and just really imagine that your body's in there.
The Ground Up, a Houston-based waste composting company, recently experienced a compost fire. The spontaneous combustion fire began on August 13th, 2017, in a pile of ground waste that had been sitting on site for about 3.5 months. Some critical factors came together to create the perfect storm for a fire, including a 1/2 inch rain on the previous Sunday morning and a south wind of 12 to 14 miles per hour that lasted until Monday night. The wind fanned the smoldering green waste and caused it to flame up. The whole pile was engulfed in open flames within 30 minutes. Staff at the Ground Up used an excavator to smother the burning pile by turning it in place and smothering the embers. The fire still burned for over a day, but did not result in any damage.
This was also like a 20-foot tall pile of compost.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. And it was all on fire. It's kind of crazy. Like, they had to bring in a backhoe to smash it around. Just goofy.
Do you know if we have any photo or video of this fire?
I don't think I could find any. And I can't really find any now.
They probably don't want a huge record of that happening.
Yeah, not great. But imagine a bunch of, like, bones in there. Your bones are just getting all toasty. And it's cold outside right now in Ohio, so it'd be nice and warm.
Yeah.
It's nice.
We need more compost fires right now.
So luckily, human remain composting is a lot less dangerous than that. It's usually done in nice labs. You're not just throwing a bunch of stuff out on the ground and waiting for it to decompose. Scientists have this process pretty well figured out. We're going to go through the steps here. This information that I'm going to have you read right now is called from some press releases from a body composting company based in Seattle, Washington.
Nature knows how to transform our bodies to soil all on its own. Unfortunately, lying in the open, a human body can take months to return to Earth. First, the skin slips and blisters. It turns blacks and grays and greens. It bloats. In drier climes, it can mummify for years. In wetter ones, a face becomes a skull in weeks. The best case scenario for complete decomposition in perfect conditions is a little over a month. Proper body composting, however, can turn you into usable, fertile soil in 30 days. The process involves placing the body in a mix of wood chips and similar composting materials, allowing microbes and bacteria to get to work. Remains are also heated to 131 degrees Fahrenheit, killing off contagions so the resulting soil is safe to use. Everything, including bones and teeth, decomposes. The process creates an environment for heat-loving microbes and beneficial bacteria to break everything down. By controlling the ratio of carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, and moisture, the system creates the perfect environment for these microbes to work. The material is also mixed at several points during the process to ensure thorough decomposition. At the end of the 30 days, the soil is screened for non-organics, like tooth fillings or implants, and then is finished. The material is given back to families and is similar to the topsoil you'd buy at your local nursery. At the end of the process, all that remains is about a cubic yard of soft, beautiful soil.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's a lovely way to go out.
So I think it would be weird if you were a family member to get, like I don't know how they deliver it, this. Like, if they just have a truck come, like they throw it in the back of someone's pickup and just roll up to your driveway and go, like,
got a dead body?
No, I'm talking about, like, the post.
Oh, like, when they're, like, just picking up the...
They go, like, hey, I got some dirt, and then they just, like, dump a bunch of dirt on your driveway.
Well, I assume they bag it up, right?
A cubic yard? That's a lot.
Yeah, one cubic yard. That is a lot. That's crazy. To bag it up in a lot of bags?
I guess a lot of bags.
I don't know.
This is kind of a wild thing. Do you know that, like, a cubic yard... How much do you think a cubic yard of water weighs?
Initially, I thought this was one of those trick questions. I'm like, Max, you think I'm a dumbass? I know it weighs one cubic yard.
Like, what weighs more, a pound of feathers or a pound of lead or whatever?
Right, I thought it was one of those dumb word problems. I have no idea. Do you know, or are you looking it up?
No, I mean, I have, like, a guess that I tell my kids. It's, like, close to 2,000 pounds.
2,000 pounds?
Yeah.
Wow.
A cubic yard of water weighs 1,728 pounds.
Wow. That's a ton!
It's heavy.
Yeah.
Very close.
Close to a ton.
Yeah. But, you know, another very cool thing about human composting is that it's a very passive activity. Because it's not something that you are putting a lot of chemicals or anything like that into, it takes a lot less energy than a lot of other burial methods.
Right. And a lot more sustainable materials, where basically you just need wood and space.
Absolutely.
To work, right?
Yeah, bacteria. Yeah. Even cremation, which is usually like the closest we can get to a pretty green burial around here, human composting takes about 1/8 of the energy of cremation.
Wow.
Which is cool.
1/8.
Yeah. And it's a lot less negative environmental impact as well. So I was looking it up and I found some stats on like how much traditional burials put into the ground every year. It's a real bummer. So traditional burials every year in the United States alone put over 30 million board feet of wood, which is a 1 foot by 1 inch by 1 foot board.
Yeah.
1.6 million tons of concrete. 750,000 gallons of embalming fluid, 750,000.
Which is great for the environment.
Good, super good. And 90,000 tons of steel are buried underground in the United States every year.
Every year?
Yep.
We're just throwing this shit in the ground.
Yep.
That's crazy.
And being like, it's really important that we do this.
Right. Man, that's wild.
It's bonkers. So... it's genuinely a really green process because, like you said, it's just wood chips and bacteria. But like a lot of things that are good for the environment, people can't make money off it. And so a lot of states, you know, the laws surrounding the process are kind of vague.
Right.
Like you can't just die and then start a compost pile in your backyard and request that your body is dropped in there.
Just mash me up in this shit.
Yeah. Like, that just doesn't fly in a lot of states. Most states in America, actually.
Just straight up not legal.
Yeah. And in some, it's not, it's one of those things that's, like, not illegal, but, like, lawmakers just think it's weird. So it gets categorized as, like, a quote-unquote unceremonious burial.
And what does that mean?
Yeah, it's super vague, right?
That's weird, yeah.
It's basically... like legal wording that's put in place to add an additional charge if like you're a serial killer and they can't prove that you murdered people yet, but they find skeletons on your property. Then they can charge you for unceremonious burial while they work out the rest of your case.
Okay.
Yeah. But it gets categorized as that. So there's a lot of companies that are interested in like helping people have access to body composting, but they can't do it because they're like not perfectly legal, you know?
Right.
So like if I die, okay,
And God forbid.
God forbid. I leave my body to one of these companies. And if I have, like, a kid and the kid's like, that's not what I want to have happen to my dad's body, the kid could sue the company for unceremonious burial of remains.
Mm.
So companies just won't do it, you know?
Right. Just to not be liable.
Yeah. But just this year, that changed. Which is very cool. It's cool to have like these like death things in the news.
Yeah.
So on May 21st, 2019, Washington State signed Senate Bill 5001, which fully legalized the process.
Nice.
Like explicitly. And that's why KC sent this to us, because they were like, this is like in my home state, you know? Mm-hmm. So here's the bill as it was passed by the Washington State Legislature.
A person has the right to control the disposition of his or her own remains without the pre-death or post-death consent of another person. A valid written document expressing the decedent's wishes regarding the place or method of disposition of his or her remains, signed by the decedent in the presence of a witness, is sufficient legal authorization for the procedures to be accomplished. Prearrangements that are prepaid or filed with a licensed funeral establishment or cemetery authority are not subject to cancellation or substantial revision by survivors. Absent actual knowledge of contrary legal authorization under this section, a licensed funeral establishment or cemetery authority may not be held criminally nor civilly liable for acting upon such prearrangements. Alkaline hydrolysis and natural organic reduction are added as allowable reduction methods for handling deceased persons' bodies for their disposition. Natural organic reduction is the contained accelerated conversion of human remains to soil. Subject to the terms of the Document of Gift and the Uniform Anatomical Gift Act, a person that accepts an anatomical gift of an entire body may allow embalming, burial, alkaline hydrolysis, natural organic reduction, and use of remains in a funeral service.
So this really just makes it explicit. If you will that your body is left to a composting service, they are allowed to compost it, no matter what your survivors say.
I want to be organically reduced, and there's nothing you can do to stop me.
It's like the legalese for composting, which is very funny.
Yes.
And I was also kind of confused as to what alkaline hydrolysis was.
Is that like the water cremation process?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And it happens a lot with like pets.
Yeah. What is the gist of that? Because before composting, to my knowledge, that was the only like legally available way to have anything remotely close to like a green process of disposing remains.
Yeah. So it happens a lot with pets, just because that's the thing that dies the most frequently that people want to have cremated,
mm-hmm.
you know? But have you watched Breaking Bad?
Yes.
So you know that scene where they decompose the body and lie?
Yes.
It's that.
Okay. You know?
So lye is like superpowered soap and bleach.
Right.
Lye is an extremely strong base, which means it's really good at breaking down natural things, like our bodies. So what alkaline hydrolysis companies will do is they put you in like a sensory deprivation chamber with water and lye. And then they heat you up to about 300 degrees. And then that lye breaks down your tissues and everything like that. It takes about 3 hours to break down a human body into just a tan liquid.
But the bones remain in the hydrolysis, right?
The bones do remain, yeah.
Yeah. So you get some bonus party favors for your funeral.
Yes.
It's awesome.
I would imagine they'd be, I don't know if they'd be bleached. I don't know if you could keep it or if they'd be like tan.
Oh, so clean. So that's where I'm at, is if that is the case, I want to be hydrolysist after I die.
Really?
And I want my bones to be available for distribution to the guests at my funeral. You can take your favorite bone, take it home, do whatever you want, make an art project, hang it up on your wall. I don't care. I'm dead. What am I going to do to stop you? But if the bones are not well preserved or just sketchy or whatever, then I want to be organically reduced. Compost me, baby.
Okay, okay.
This is my will and testament.
I wonder if this is legal. I mean, worth saying it.
I hope it's
public distribution.
The flip side of that is everything that we said on this podcast legally binding?
That's true.
I kind of hope not. But I legitimately want my remains to be disposed of in this way. And I think that after recording this episode, that's going to be on my somewhat short-term to-do list, is like looking into the legal process of making that happen.
You gonna do it?
Yeah, that's very cool. Just hell fuck it, dude. Like, we gotta start somewhere with just not shoving a bunch of chemicals and bullshit into the earth and like doing something that's remotely sustainable.
Yeah.
And I don't want my family to be here and be like, how are we gonna pay for all of this
valid,
shit?
Yes.
Because that's expensive.
Yes.
And it's like, if you can just get some wood chips and like let me rot, which I'm gonna do eventually,
regardless,
no matter what.
Yeah, it's just kicking the can down the road, you know?
You are gonna rot. then fuck it. Like, do that and put that money toward anything else. Anything else at all. Just, it should not be for, like, doing an actively destructive process for sentimental reasons. I'm getting real fired up about it.
We started talking about lie, and then you pulled your little soapbox out.
Hey.
That's a soap joke for all the soap heads out there. Stupid.
Good lord. Okay. So we know the process now.
Yeah. I mean, that's composting. That's alkaline hydrolysis. It's green. The guy who signed this bill into law was Jay Inslee. Did you watch any of the Democratic debates?
No, not really.
Jay Inslee was there. He was running for president. He is running on basically the stance that the environment...
That's his platform, is the environment.
Is the environment, yeah.
I mean, fair play to him.
Yeah.
Pretty important issue.
Yeah. I mean, he's talking about it a lot, and it's good, you know? I like him. He's kind of a goofy-looking guy when he gets real worked up, but it's cool. I respect him, so good to him.
Yeah.
Because he was the one who signed this bill into law, Washington was the state that legalized this. There's a company out in Seattle named Recompose that's trying to be the first to commercialize this process. They've got this really genuinely very pretty facility in the SoDo district of Seattle, which is also very close to the Seattle Mariners baseball field.
Nice.
Which I like.
Working all the sports into this episode.
Yeah. The space is really beautiful. Just look up Recompose Seattle.
What was the guy's name again?
Jay Inslee.
Do we put him in the Hall of Heroes?
We can put him in the Hall of Heroes.
All right.
You want to just record a little bit to drop in there?
Yeah,
that's
what
makes sense.
No, just we'll have that be it. Because he's a filthy politician. So he doesn't get a big ceremonious thing. He already has enough big ceremonious things in his life. We're just going to quietly just sneak him into the pre-Dead Boys Hall of Heroes.
I'll be in a corner.
We'll make a formal announcement for Lal Bahari and Kenneth Jarek and Merle Evers Williams, but like, you know, little Jay Inslee, we'll throw you in there.
He's in there.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, I've seen this facility before.
Yeah. It's very pretty.
Yeah.
It looks almost like a conservatory on the inside.
It really does.
Like a nice greenhouse.
Which I really like, that there's plant life and,
yeah. You
know, it's very lovely.
Yeah. They've really specifically tried to join both the nature and industrial aspects of this process, where the inside of the warehouse is just like a greenhouse. Like, there's plants growing and like a little walking path. But then the walls just have all these like honeycombs on them.
Which I thought was just a cool aesthetic architectural choice.
No,
it's just you got these like honeycombs. It's kind of a life metaphor. Yeah.
Nope.
No, that's where they put the bodies.
Yep.
It's where they rot them.
Yep. Which is, you know, kind of neat. It's this whole thing is supposed to be kind of like you're able to walk around and reflect on death. Full stop, I guess.
Yeah.
Death and nature and the process and the cycle.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're a nonprofit. They're doing very cool work. They will take your body if you can arrange for transport to them.
The way you said that made it sound like without your consent. They will take your body.
They will come in and snatch your body.
They will come for you. You better watch out. You better watch out.
You better watch out. You better watch out. But yeah, it's a cool company, so hats off to them.
Hats off to you.
And, you know, that's one of the early methods that's starting for, like, regular old folks like you and me.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple methods out there if you want to be composted and you're very rich. So this is where we can start talking about Luke Perry.
Yes.
So Luke Perry, for folks who don't know, like me, because the only real reason I knew about Luke Perry was from The Simpsons, he was an actor who played the character Dylan McKay on Beverly Hills 90210, and he was also on Riverdale and Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yep, that's right.
You know how Beverly Hills had a zip code of 90210?
Yes.
Do you know what the zip code for Dawson's Creek is?
No, what is it?
90108.
That's really good. I'm not even mad at that one. That's really good.
It's going to be very funny when this episode gets transcribed. So, you know, Luke Perry was in a lot of teen soap stuff, but he had a niche, and he was very good at working his niche.
Yeah.
So no shit on that. But he died earlier this year on March 4th, 2019, at the age of 52.
Very sad.
Yeah, it was
a little early.
Yeah. His death did, however, spark a ton of interest in body composting and stuff like that from a lot of major media outlets. Do you remember this?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So what I did is I pulled an article from CNN. They're like, CNN's big, and they were writing about this. I thought it was pretty neat.
When Luke Perry was laid to rest in Tennessee last month, he was buried in a mushroom suit, according to his daughter, Sophie Perry. It turns out Luke Perry was something of an environmentalist. So, what is a mushroom burial suit? The company, Coeo, says its Infinity Burial Suit is a completely biodegradable burial garment. According to its website, the suit has a built-in biomix made up of mushrooms and other microorganisms that help decompose the body, neutralize toxins, and transfer nutrients to plant life. The end result of being buried in the Infinity Burial Suit is that bodies are transformed into vital nutrients that enrich the earth and foster new life.
So that all sounds well and good.
Yeah, sounds good.
It's cool that CNN, like, wrote this up in, like, a very CNN fashion, but...
Sure.
It's cool, you know?
Gave it a little shine.
Yeah, and people were talking about it, and it was neat. But I remember you, like, mentioning this to me, and mentioning that there was, like, some sketchy stuff with the burial suit. What was going on with that?
Yeah, so there's controversy about this whole mushroom suit thing. There is a podcast called The W Files. And they did an interview with the modern mortician, Melissa Unfred. Both of those are worth looking up. Melissa does a lot of work in just talking about mortuary work and also a good death content creator in her own right. Yeah. But she has a lot of issues with not just the unproven concept itself, that the mushroom suit, there's not really sufficient evidence to show that it actually works. But also, it's a little bit shady that when the company that makes it is kind of taken to task, and, you know, in particular, there's apparently research studies that they have been doing on the mushroom suit that they are just not releasing to the public
while they are
also making money off of the mushroom suit, especially these, like, high-profile celebrity, you know, cases. So there's some controversy with that. And, to that end, I've also heard from less credible sources some, like, suspicion about the tree pods that we covered, the Capsula Mundi.
Oh, yeah.
That a lot of people are like, yeah, just shoving cremated remains under a tree can actually kill the tree.
Oh, really?
So a lot of these green
burials... So you're saying I shouldn't have been doing that?
Well, we're learning. We're learning as we make this podcast, right? Like, we don't know... We're not experts.
We're not, no.
Fucking... I'm an artist and you're a librarian. Like, we're not experts in this field. We're just collecting the available information and trying to present it to you. So we're learning along the way, along with everybody else, that, you know, a lot of these are really cool concepts, but the fact of the matter is we have to kind of show that these work. We have to demonstrate that these are, at least we can reasonably expect that if I do this, it's actually going to work. It's actually going to decompose my body in a constructive way for the environment.
Yeah.
I'm not just hopping on a fad just because there's some internet buzz around it.
Yeah.
You know, internet buzz is very different from demonstrable evidence that something is working.
Yeah. Research findings.
So I'll put a link to that podcast interviewing the modern mortician, because I thought it was very interesting. I think that Melissa can speak to that a little bit more concretely than either of us can. But yeah, just keep an eye on that whole situation as it develops. We'll try to keep you updated with what we find out. But
yeah,
it's a little sus.
I mean, it's cool that we're engaging with this as a culture, you know?
Yeah.
Because you always need to be critical of a lot of this stuff, because people who can make money off things are always going to try and push it as hard as they can. And it's cool that folks are out there looking out for people like us who legitimately want to have a positive impact through our corpses, you know? And there's a lot of people who do this and are probably not as well educated as they could be because a company is specifically targeting them with advertising, you know?
Right. That, and there's just not many options out there for something that really has not been legal until recently.
Yeah.
You know, in Luke Perry's defense, he took the option that was probably the only option available to him outside of,
oh, absolutely, yeah,
you know, typical Western, pump him full of formaldehyde, put him in a metal box, you know, like, he probably took the only option that was available to him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we could just sit here and critique his decision for not being well informed, but I don't know that that's necessarily the case. Maybe that is really the best option that he had.
Yeah.
And maybe it takes people, you know, being willing to take those options before more options are open to us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe it takes all of us to, like, investigate a little bit and see what we can do with our own bodies.
Yeah.
And then, you know, maybe we can start to see change with the law and the available means to everyone kind of accommodate that.
Yeah. It's one of those, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism, but research and actually looking into this stuff makes it slightly more ethical, you know?
Right.
Keeping these companies accountable and making sure that they're doing what they say they're doing.
Right.
Is what you want, you know?
Yeah.
So.
And look, you can either tear down capitalism and start with a different system, which that's a discussion for a different podcast another day. Or you can, or maybe, like, along with considering other burial options. You know, that's a little bit more achievable in the short term.
Yeah.
I'm about to get on my soapbox again, so I better stop.
The two options.
Yeah.
I mean, luckily, that is all I had, so you can calm down.
Okay.
You breathe a little bit.
I haven't been this worked up since cryonics, dude. I was livid.
It's good, though. I mean, that's another cutting-edge thing that's pushing the boundaries of a lot of stuff, and got to keep it accountable, you know?
Yeah, we absolutely do. I love to, legitimately, we have huge number of people listening to this podcast who are interacting with us and sharing this stuff with us. So shout out to the people who suggested this topic for us to cover in an episode.
Oh, absolutely.
And we'll segue right into it. We would love to hear anyone who's listening. We would love to hear your thoughts on, like, what would you do with your body if you had the means to do it, whether it's legal right now or not. Would you consider a green burial practice? Is that weird? Are we weird freaks for thinking that? You know, tell us if you think it's kind of, if it's just bizarre to deviate from the norm with funeral rituals. I'm definitely interested in hearing that perspective that's kind of different from mine.
I would actually be really curious. If you are into this stuff, like death positivity, and you really want a traditional burial, I would be really curious to hear your reasoning why.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm not going to blast you on email, but
right.
Send us an email and, like, explain that, because it's just so far out of my own wheelhouse. Just want to know.
Yeah, again, we're learning right along with you guys. definitely want to hear some different perspectives. So hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at PreDeadBoys. You can email us predeadboys@gmail.com. We have a pretty cool Facebook group. Just search PreDeadBoys podcast on Facebook. We'll pop right up. And we have a very awesome Discord that's been bumping lately.
It rules. I like it.
Yeah. Shout out to Hollow and to Casey and everybody who's just been having the conversation going. I love that. I didn't even know if we were going to have a Discord a few months ago. I was kind of like, I like Discord. I don't know if anybody uses it though. And boy, was I wrong.
Yeah, you were incorrect.
People love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just message us if you want the link to get invited to that Discord server. We'll add you right in. One benefit of people emailing us and talking to us is that we get a chance to reevaluate things that we've said in previous episodes of the podcast. Make some corrections.
Correction corner.
And on that note, I have a correction to make. I goofed. You didn't goof. It was one of the episodes that I did the research and notes for. In our Uzumaki bonus episode from last year's Halloween run, I incorrectly stated that Hinduism was a major religion in Japan, and I neglected to mention that Shintoism is not only the biggest statistically religion in Japan, but it's also just shaped their culture for, you know, their entire existence. I really did not adequately explain or at the time understand Shintoism and all the ways that it's influenced Japan throughout their history.
Yeah.
Wanted to give that correction and apologize for my lack of foresight there. And I want to give a shout out to Cassandra, who emailed us and just got that dialogue going. We had a cool email exchange about a lot of things, and I know I shared some of that with you.
Yeah.
And she said just a ton of kind words about all kinds of different episodes of the podcast. And yeah, just loved hearing that feedback and loved hearing the critique. We definitely want to be held accountable. And
oh, absolutely.
You know, especially if I say something that's just negligent of a culture that's different from my own, I want to be, gently informed. You don't need to come at my throat. But like Cassandra did, just very informative, gentle correction. I love that. I really appreciated you you doing that for us, Cassandra.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you said it, but I also obviously didn't say anything about it. So, sometimes stuff just slips by. And
yeah.
And we need folks catching that for us.
For sure. And we never want to lose sight of the fact that Max and I are two straight white males. We're definitely in a position where we do need to be corrected on a few things.
Yes,
there is a lot of perspective that we absolutely miss, and we really value it when people talk to us with differing perspectives. That's what this podcast is all about.
Yep.
So yeah, thank you to Cassandra, and also thank you to Cassandra for the Ko-fi donation.
Oh.
She sent us some money through our Ko-fi page.
Thank you.
ko-fi.com/predeadboys. If you want to also throw a few bucks our way, we would really appreciate that. She said this: I have recommended this pod and gotten a lot of replies along the lines of, why are you like this? And this is weird. So if anyone is looking for a good way to lose friends and alienate people, recommend this pod. But hey, whatever. I have amazing taste in media. Screw those losers. Yeah, you know what?
It's an A+ review.
Screw those losers. That's right. Cassandra, you rock. We really appreciate you. Another way you can support us that we really want to get people behind is our Patreon. What's a Patreon? You're probably fucking sick of hearing about them if you listen to any other podcast or follow any other content creator. But Patreon is an awesome way where Max and I get financial support for the work that we're trying to do here with the podcast. It helps us keep making this. And basically, we're trying to get enough pledges that we make $100 a month. Once we get to that point, we will start releasing monthly bonus episodes.
Absolutely.
To $5 a month patrons. And yeah, we would really like to hit that goal. But also, if you sign up today, you get access to wallpapers for your phone and desktop and some little behind the scenes posts.
They're very cute.
Yeah, thank you. I made a holiday one that I'm very proud of. It was very fun. Want to give a shout out to our new patrons, Casey, as mentioned earlier, also helped suggest this topic for our episode. Yeah. So thank you very much. Also, our new number one supporter on Patreon, my mother, Karen.
Karen.
Donated above the $5 a month goal.
Ooh. You remember when she made us guac?
I never take my mom's guac for granted. Her guac rocks. And I want to give a shout out to Mike Nooner, who upped his pledge from $5 to $10 a month, putting him in close competition with my mom for best donor on the Patreon. So you two are tied. We really appreciate you equally. That's right, Mike. I love you just as much as I love my mom.
I got to get on my mom about this now.
Justine!
Teeny.
Teeny. I mean, she's a patron. You don't need to.
She's a patron.
You don't need to harass her about it. She's giving her hard-earned money. Anyway, we love our moms. We love our patrons almost as much. If you don't have any money, don't sweat it. Just tell your friends about this podcast. And
we appreciate that.
This podcast always going to be free.
Absolutely.
This podcast always going to be free. This podcast is going to be free. We're not going to start charging for episodes. So the Patreon stuff is bonus. But yeah, we love doing this. And we love just giving you guys some good research and some good goofs. Also, if you could give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, that helps us go up in the rankings. We would really appreciate it.
Yes.
Our intro and outro music is the song About Time by Brat Curse. Check them out at bratcurse.bandcamp.com. Their self-titled album is probably in my top 10 albums of the year this year. So look them up on Spotify or listen to them any way you can. And that's going to do it for us, Max. So you said that compost can spontaneously combust.
It can, yes.
And you also said that you, this is unrelated, that you have a neighbor who has been throwing trash basically into your back alley and calling it a compost pile.
I do, yes.
So in theory, right, like this is just theoretical, if that compost pile were to burst into flames, that would be probably indication of a spontaneous combustion, right?
Like. Yes.
Like, that wouldn't necessarily mean that somebody lit that compost.
Why? Why are you asking it? What?
I'm just curious about
where
this.
Where are you going?
I'm just looking out the back window. Do you have a lighter?
Well, I mean, yeah, I got one right over there, but hey.
Okay, I'm going to borrow this real quick.
Wait, hold on.
We got to go do some more research about composting.
Hey. Stop it.
You sound very not enthused about trying to, like, you don't sound like you're trying very hard to stop me.
Stop.
All right, Max said no, I gotta go. Max and Dorian here reminding you, you're gonna rock. Out some interesting information.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I had a stroke.
No, that wasn't it. So my great grandfather was a mortician.
No shit.
Yeah. And I found this out because my dad was telling a story just offhand about like something he was helping his grandpa with in the funeral home.
Sure.
And I was like, no shit.
Huh.
So, like, you worked in your funeral home? And he was like, well, not really, but, like, I helped Grandpa out with a couple tasks. It's kind of crazy shit. Like, one thing that my dad told me today was that there was a body that came in to the funeral home that was a construction worker.
Okay.
Who, like, had some huge accident and, like, piece of heavy machinery like blew off his legs or something.
Oh,
and I guess my dad helped like carry this like really heavy set guy with a third of his body missing.
Oh my god.
Like get him situated in some pants and like helped him up onto a slab or whatever.
Oh wow.
I was like, holy shit, dad.
Wow.
I had no idea. So that explains some things about my personality.
About you.
The morbid interest runs deep, I guess.
Did you know my parents wedding reception?
No.
Was it a morgue?
In a morgue?
Yeah.
Why was it in a morgue?
No, not the wedding reception, but the rehearsal dinner. They, like, rented out a venue for the rehearsal dinner after the wedding rehearsal. And they got there, and I guess it was an old morgue they had only, like, converted half of. So, like, you would just walk to the other side of the venue, and it would be, like...
still a morgue.
Steel tables and, like, the channels running in the ground and stuff like that.
Yeah. Wow. That would be so cool to just, like, wander around and, like, oh, shit.
Yeah, it'd be very dope.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
The morbid interests run deep.
Yeah.
In the family roots. Okay, so on a, like, somewhat more somber topic, but not really. So my grandmother just got diagnosed with ALS. They, like, finally figured out what was going on with her. And it's confirmed that was the case. And my dad's friend Rick said something offhand about something that he read online that ALS can be, like, it has been connected, I guess, to extended and repeated exposure to formaldehyde.
Really?
Yeah. Again, this was, like, dad's friend read it on the internet, so, like, a fourth degree connection, and, like, I don't know how legitimate that is. But I thought that was interesting to know.
If your great-grandfather, her dad?
Yeah.
Was a funeral home?
Or a mortician? Funeral director, yeah. Huh. Yeah, so it would explain, like,
wow,
that possible connection. But it's kind of crazy, too, because ALS, it's kind of cool. It's something that, like, my family's been reflecting on and been really grateful for, is that ALS, and Lou Gehrig's can take hold. There are some people who have died in their 30s from Lou Gehrig's.
Yeah.
And my grandmother is
like in her Lou 80s. Gehrig was in his 40s.
Right, you know? Exactly. And my grandmother's in her 80s, and she's, like, I'm beginning to think that she's unkillable. She's just, like, tough as shit and awesome. But, you know, she's lived a full-ass life and is, like, still kicking. So, you know, we're really grateful that she's still around and, like, had a full life.
Yeah.
And it didn't, like, take hold earlier. But it's really interesting, like, that possible connection is there.
Yeah. Huh.
And so I just wanted to throw that out there. One, because we're friends and I like updating you on things like this. But two, think of formaldehyde episode would be really interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much concrete research is out there about the effects of formaldehyde.
I'm sure I could find some about it.
Yeah. And I'm sure that, like, if we can get in touch with, like, the funeral workers who listen to the podcast, like, they might know some stuff.
Yeah.
Have some leads too. But that would be a really cool, like, I mean, I guess in a sense, almost like a follow-up to this episode. Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's heavy duty. Like, I remember when we did the embalming episode, like, that stuff's, like, very heavy.
Mm-hmm. I think that we've mentioned a lot about how it affects the environment, but that was really interesting to me is, like, oh, it can, like,
hurt people.
It can hurt the people who are working around dead people.
Yeah.
Which is fucking wild.
That's bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, something to look into.